This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
What is the story that you tell yourself about you? What is on repeat in your mind? And it's been said the person that we talk to the most, more than we talk to anybody else, is ourselves. And so when you talk to you about you, what is the story you tell yourself about you? For some of you, you think you can't because you haven't. And you think you won't because you didn't. You look back over the landscape of your life, your story, and it is scattered with moments that are feel-good moments, and you think about those things, but it's interesting to me. Typically, we only glance at the good moments, but it's the moments that haunt us, that fill our minds like a sponge. And you say to yourself, how could I have been so foolish? How did I not see that coming? Because so often in life, we step into foolish and we live in a unique kind of blindness when it comes to our own lives. And we can see things so clearly that other people should fix and what they should do in their relationships or how they should change how they manage their finances and their resources or what they need to tweak in their parenting. The thing that's fascinating to me about parenting is the experts are usually people that don't have kids yet. They can tell exactly how you should parent. But we look at our lives and there's a pattern that's on repeat. And it's a pattern that also defeats. How could I have been so foolish? What was I thinking? How did I not see that coming? And there are only two reasons you didn't see it coming. There can only be two reasons that you were blind to what was happening. The first one is you didn't listen. There are some people that love you, that are close to you, and they said, hey, you tend to dive into the same kind of relationships. You tend to have the same patterns in marriage. You tend to continually deal with debt. Like you have some things going on in your life, and you ignored it, and you didn't listen. The only other reason you wouldn't have seen it coming is that nobody warned you. You have taken the people that would speak truth into your life and those helpful moments, and even though the conversation's awkward, it could be helpful. You've taken those people, and instead of being on the playing field of your life, you've put them in the bleachers as far away as possible. And so, nobody was there to warn you. But someone saw it coming. You may not have, but there was someone in your life, they saw it coming. Moms always see it coming. But why is it? Have you ever thought about, why is it that I can see trouble coming so quickly in your life, but I'm blind to it in mine? We can identify in other people so quickly. The patterns they have, the thing, that it's coming. Something's going to blow up in their world. We can see it so clearly in other people, but not in our own lives. We see with such clarity how someone else should handle their finances, how they should raise their kids, how they should change their dating habits, but in our own lives, we're blind to it. Why? Because areas in life that are high in emotion are low in wisdom. The more emotions are engaged and the more our feelings are involved, the worst decisions we tend to make, because we're driven by emotion rather than wisdom. It's why people are in relationships they shouldn't be in. Because you notice you have a friend that's dating someone and you know it's not healthy, and you see the conflict and you see the tension and you see the stress, and they're always a ball of knots because there's always some issue, and you see it so clearly, but they're driven by emotion And so they make poor decisions. And when that relationship ends, it's the next one. And they always have something to complain about the person they're dating. The problem is, in the history of your dating relationships, the common denominator, it's you. There's a pattern in your life that you don't see. Emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. And the reason that's a problem is because every major decision in life, the most important things we decide in life, they're full of emotion. If you're deciding something about your marriage, if you're deciding something about your parenting, if you're deciding what school to go to or what job to take or what house to buy, your emotions are at the highest level. Every decision that matters is full of emotion because they matter. But emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. That's why I could manage your money better than you can manage your money. Because I'm not emotionally attached. You see that car you like and you got to have it? I don't care. I can look at your budget. I can look at your finances. I can look at the interest rate they're giving you if you're going to borrow money, or if you're paying cash, the price of the car, and where it comes in, the Kelley Blue Book value. And I can look at all that, and I can easily make a decision because I have no emotions involved in what car you drive. I can manage your money better than you can manage your money because I'm not emotionally involved. And you can manage my money better than I can manage my money because you're not emotionally involved. It's emotions that drive so much of life. You know it from shopping, if you have kids. Isn't it interesting what they put on eye level for kids in the store? And you're rolling through the store and your kid's in the cart and they see that thing on eye level and they gotta have it. Emotions are involved. And that's why as a parent, you have no problem saying no because you're not emotionally attached to that thing they want. Years ago, one of our kids was with Angie at the store. I'm not gonna tell you which kid, but she was in the store with this precious, sweet child from heaven of ours. And that child saw candy, a certain kind of candy, and said, "Mom, I want that candy." And Angie said, "No, we're not buying candy today." And my child, my daughter, my offspring, my gift from heaven, looked at their mom and said, "I will kill you." And I was shocked that Ashley said that. I couldn't believe it. But emotions. Listen, as adults, part of what we know is we're just big kids. Like, we fake it good. But we don't have everything together. We're still trying to figure out how to do relationships, how to do life, how to forgive people that have hurt us, how to live overcoming betrayal, how to heal in wounds that have deeply happened in our lives and other relationships. We're just big kids. So I wonder, what are you emotionally attached to where you're not thinking clearly and you're not functioning wisely because you're being driven by your emotions? And you know exactly what you would say to someone else in your situation, but you're not following your own advice. You can fix it for somebody else, but for you, it's different. It happens in relationships. Maybe you're married, maybe you're dating, and you look at another couple. I mean, the truth is, you can solve any relationship problem in about 2 minutes. They all boil down to one of four or five issues that are the root of the problem. And so you can easily look at another couple and you can say, "Okay, sir, you need to stop talking to her like that. And ma'am, you need to stop assuming the worst about him. And if y'all would just do that, it's fixed." You can solve it in other people's relationships, but in your own, you still struggle. Because you're not emotionally attached in the other relationship. We can fix someone else's problem before we even diagnose our own. Because emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. Because what emotions do? Emotions make the obvious less obvious. Because what we want and what we think we have to have becomes so full inside of us. This is why just follow your heart is not that smart. Because you're being driven by emotion. So we live in this repeat of, how could I have been so foolish? Why didn't I see that coming? How could I have been so foolish? Why didn't I see that coming? And if that's true, how do we do what Ephesians 5 teaches us? We looked at it last week, that this one verse, Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live. not as unwise, but as wise. Be very careful then how you live. And that word live can be translated walk. We talked about it last week. Be very careful then how you walk. Don't walk like people that are unwise. Walk like the wise. It's the Spirit of God through the Word of God speaking to our hearts that there is a way you and I can live, a way you and I can walk through this life that is either wise or unwise. But to achieve wisdom, be very careful. You will not accidentally live a life of wisdom. You will not wake up one day when life's a struggle and you're dealing with a lot of issues and all of a sudden you're wise. Be very careful that it requires intentionality. It requires a certain behavior on your part where you are chasing something in the way that you walk. You're walking on purpose in a wise way. So in the areas where our emotions are at a peak level, our emotions are high because it matters so much. How do we walk in wisdom? It's one word. Last week, we looked primarily at one verse. Today, one word. One word that we know, but we don't practice. How do we, in emotionally charged moments, because listen. I don't know if there's been a time in my lifetime when people have lived at such emotional strain. Everybody is right on the edge of being offended at any moment. And so you say one little thing, man, it's on. There's a rage that comes up inside us. We live ready to be offended. We live ready to be frustrated. We live assuming the worst. We live doubting we will ever have the best. Emotions are at such a high level. And it's going to get worse because we're about to go into an election season. And some of you, you're going to lose your cookies over what you think is supposed to happen with the election. Let me just remind you before we go into this, we're not voting for a savior, we already have one. We're going to be electing a president, and it's important. It is important. Because this whole freaking thing's a train wreck right now, and we all know it. But the reality is, it's not a president that's going to save us. We already have a savior. What's the one word? How do we, when emotions are so high, how do we live in wisdom? Be very careful then how you live, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. How do we do it? One word, listen. We need to listen more. But did you know there are two ways you listen? You listen with your ears. You need to have people in your life that can speak truth to you, people that are willing to have awkward conversations with you because of how much they love you. You listen with your ears. It's important to listen to people with your ears. But before you ever listen with your ears, listen with your eyes. Because there are a lot of people that will say things that their lives don't match. You have no credibility in what you say if your life doesn't match what you say. So before you listen with your ears, listen with your eyes. It's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing to live loving me. Two very different things. It's so easy to toss out the words, I'm sorry, but are you living in a way that validates the fact that you truly regret what just happened and you've changed your behavior? Before you listen with your ears, listen with your eyes. Is there credibility there? Not perfection, but movement in someone's life in a direction where they're growing and they're changing and they're showing they love you. Somebody works for you and, oh, I love my job, but they roll in late every day. Oh, I just love people, but you're mean as hell. It's a Bible word. It's in there. It's okay. Talk is so cheap. And we've defined listening. And some of the reasons some of you are so frustrated in your relationships is you spend a lot of time listening to people that have no credibility, and you know they have no credibility. And you're hoping at some point it changes. Before you listen with your ears, listen with your eyes. But you've got to listen. Because wise people recognize when they are in no condition to decide for themselves, by themselves. Part of wisdom is recognizing my emotions are engaged. I'm not in the best place. I probably can't make the wisest decision. I need some outside help. I need to listen to some people that I've listened to with my eyes first, and I know I can trust them because they have my best interest at heart, and I'm going to listen with my ears because I can't decide for myself, by myself. I've got to listen. Last week was just one verse. The Spirit of God writing in Scripture through King Solomon, the person that God says is the wisest individual that's ever lived. So Spirit of God writing through the wisest person that ever lived, that's like double the intensity of this. Solomon, third king of Israel, the wealthiest king Israel had had at that point, led the nation in a way where it was a time of great prosperity. They had the largest army they'd ever had in their history under Solomon. They had gained more land and more territory under Solomon than they had ever had. Israel is doing great when Solomon's the king. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore, as his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. From all the nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. How had they heard of his wisdom? Because somebody listened with their eyes before they listened with their ears. They'd seen the wisdom of Solomon. They'd seen the decisions and how they play out and how it benefits the country and it benefits the people of the country. And so other nations, other kingdoms would send messengers to Solomon. How do we deal with what's happening in our economy? What do we do when there's conflict among our own military? How do we handle famine? How do we make sure we have reserves? And they would go to Solomon because of his wisdom. His reputation spread, not as a great king, but as a wise king. And people came from everywhere, from other kingdoms, just to hear what he had to say. He's the answer guy. And you might think, man, I wish I could ask Solomon a question. I wish I could hear from Solomon. You can. The Spirit of God used Solomon to write three books of the Bible: Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, and a lot of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the book of wisdom. It's full of nuggets of wisdom you can build your life on. And Solomon is the guy that the Spirit of God used to pen those words. Words like Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Wise people never stop learning. Wise people never stop growing. And so when you give them instruction, they become wiser because they apply that instruction to their lives. Wise people never reach a place where they're the know-it-all, where they think they've arrived and they don't need to hear from anybody else. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. If you want to have more understanding, if you want to bring more clarity to your life, especially in the cloudy moments that emotions create when we're so emotionally invested, you bring wise counsel. It's interesting to me that this verse doesn't say just bring counsel, put people around you to listen to. There are some people, very frankly, you need to stop listening to. You got to have the right people. You need to ask the right questions to the right people. If I want to know how to have a great marriage, I'm not asking dude that's been divorced 12 times. I'm not doing it. If I want to know, it's funny when I'm in the gym. Should I say this? The conversations you hear at the machines next to you, I've been in here about 2 years, and if you want to grow biceps, I'm like, you ain't got no biceps. You weigh about 440. You've been in here too. You need to change something. Like the people, listen, if you want to glean, if you want to get understanding, if I want to know more about marriage, I look for guys that have great marriages, and I try to learn from them. If I want to know more about how to handle finances, I want to have people around me who are great at handling their finances because I want to learn from them. I don't need to hear theory from somebody that it's not working in their life because they're not applying it. I want to hear from the guy that's applying what he's talking about, and I can see the results because I'm going to listen with my eyes before I listen with my ears. But he says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, increase in knowledge. And knowledge is meaningless unless you do something and apply the knowledge. And a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Acquire, it means go get it. Find it. Put yourself in a position to be around people that are trying to move in the direction you want your life to go. And then Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But a wise man is he who listens to counsel. You can't help people unless they want to be helped. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I'm good. I'm good. Man, I'm concerned. You've got this pattern. I'm good. I'm good. Or Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Plans fail for a lack of counsel. Did you know you have a unique ability to talk yourself into the stupidest decisions you could ever make? I have a unique ability. I'm above average. Like, if I'm by myself, I can talk myself into some stupid decisions. When we were thinking, and it was months ago, in a conversation in my heart, I think it was back in November, that the vision for this went boom. But before we just did this the next week, I talked to people. I talked to wise people. I talked to people, hey, what do you think about this? And what about these challenges? And how do we do this? I talked to the team. Our staff is incredibly sharp. They make me look very good. The things happening in Life C3, I get the credit. They pull it off. Our staff is sharp. Last Sunday night after the evening service, we got in a meeting, and on purpose, I give them freedom intentionally on purpose. I want to hear the truth. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. I need you to be brutally honest with me. And I expected in that meeting, because I was ready, like, go. I was ready in November. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Let's do it. Let's. Why not? Let's do it. I like doing things nobody's doing because, listen, to reach people nobody's reaching, we have to do things nobody's doing. And church should be a connective atmosphere. And I don't want us just watching the professional singers up there. I want you to see through them and appreciate their leadership and see regular people like me over there. Because the truth is, the choir, the worship leaders, they're not there. They're right here. Because nobody can replace your worship. Nobody can worship for you. And so in that meeting, I said, hey, guys, what do you think? I'm really thinking we go to this next Sunday morning. And I expected there to be two or three people say, eh. Everybody's like, oh, heck yes, now. Because of what happened last Sunday night. Now, I know for some of you, you walk through those doors and everything in your brain, like, they took my chair. Where's my seat? That's my seat. I understand. But to grow, you have to go to uncomfortable places. And I'm much more interested in a more connective environment. The other thing that's a beauty about this is, as we continue to grow, eventually all of that will be seats up there. Eventually all of that will be seats back there. And we can fit about 120 more chairs in this room this way than we could the other way. So it helps our growth. Now, you got to pay attention, especially if you're on the first row. We're going to make you famous. You're going to be on video. And so, like, you want to be careful. Don't pick your nose. It might be on camera. And the other thing about this, when you get up, it distracts the whole room. So if you need to go potty, please do that before or after the service, not in the middle of the service, because everybody can see you now. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Or Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline. The word discipline means correction. Bringing consistent correction into your life to change the pattern and tweak the direction of your life so it moves in the direction you really want it to go. Listen to advice and accept discipline or correction, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Because you just didn't listen to the advice, you accepted, you internalized, you put into practice in your life the discipline and the correction. But what's fascinating to me about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, according to God, toward the end of his life, he stopped listening to his own advice. The wisest man that had ever lived made some of the dumbest mistakes that have ever been made. Because wisdom is not something that just stays in you no matter what. Wisdom is something you have to continually chase. Wisdom is something you have to continually apply. You don't reach or attain a place in life where I'm just wise now and I don't have to work hard. I don't have to learn more. I don't have to do more. I'm just good. No, you've got to continue to chase wisdom. Why did he do that? You only stay in wisdom when you continue to listen. The moment you think you're good enough, smart enough, talented enough, gifted enough, and you stop listening. When you stop listening, you stop growing. When you stop listening, you stop growing. We know that we need to listen. We know that we need to ask the right people the right questions. So why don't we do this? Well, first, I think we have to define who are the right people. If you're going to acquire counsel, if you're going to bring people into your life that are going to help advise you in your life as you make decisions, when your emotions are all over the place and you need somebody that's going to help ground you, somebody that's stable, somebody that's going to help move you in the direction you want your life to go, who are the right people that we ask the questions of? There's only two categories that have to be in their lives: people that love Jesus and live for him, Those are the right people. A lot of people say they love Jesus, but there's not enough evidence in their life to convict them that they follow him. They've got to love Jesus and live for him. Those are the right people. The second thing that the person needs to have, if they're going to be among the counsel that I'm going to acquire, the people that I'm going to bring in to help me navigate those emotionally charged moments in life, the other quality, they've got to love me and want the best for me. They've got to love Jesus and live for him, and they've got to love me and want the best for me. Did you know, this is going to shock you, did you know that not everybody that says I love you loves you? Listen with your eyes before you listen with your ears. I love you means I live in a way that anything I say to you is with your best interest in mind. See, some people say things to you to get you to do what they want you to do. That's not love, that's manipulation. When I love you, I'm always going to tell you what's best for you because it's best for you and it has nothing to do with what's best for me. Those are the right people. So why don't we ask the right people the right questions? And this would help us. We could avoid the, how could I have been so foolish? How did I not see that coming? Why don't we do that? I don't know about you, but in my life, the dumbest decisions I've made, I did not ask the right people the right questions because I already knew what wise people would say and I didn't want to hear it. Often we don't ask because we don't want to know. I know what you're going to say about the relationship that I'm in, but I don't want to hear it. I know what you would say. I know what wisdom would say about the purchase I want to make, but I don't want to hear it. I know what wisdom would say about the place I want to go, but I don't want to hear it. And the dangerous thing about emotions when they're so high and what drives us into even dumber decisions is we tend to ask people questions knowing how they're going to answer, and we only ask the people that we want to hear the answer they're going to give. We don't want to hear truth. It takes courage to hear truth. It's uncomfortable to hear truth. When I'm confronted with truth, I've got to decide something about my life. But notice what Solomon also says. Proverbs 13:10. Where there is strife, conflict, tension, turmoil. Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Why was I so foolish? How did I not see that coming? What causes us to say those phrases? Simple. Pride. It's pride. Pride is what keeps us from asking the right people the right questions. Listen, if you're willing to live as a student, everybody's a teacher. You can learn from everybody. The very first pastor I served with, I was a student pastor, and I was the first student pastor in the history of the church. I still pray for those people. It was terrible. But I was a student pastor. But the pastor that I served with, that guy went on to be fired from not one, not two, not three, not four, but five churches. Now, at some point, you got to think, maybe ministry is not my deal. Like, it took five, I think I would have gotten it at three. But I learned from him. You know what I learned from him? A whole lot of stuff not to do. I learned from him how to not treat people. I learned from him how to not talk to your wife. I learned some things. As long as you're a student, everybody's a teacher. But when you live as a student, you grow wiser and wiser. And it's pride that will keep you from attending class. Pride has two extremes, success and failure. Success is intoxicating. Failure is humiliating. And because success is intoxicating, often when we're successful, we feel like, I don't need to ask any questions. I don't need to have the right people around me. I don't need any more advice. I'm good. I got it. I'm successful. The danger with success is you can achieve a place where you think you're so good, you don't have to learn anymore. You don't have to grow anymore. You don't have to do anymore. And you don't realize the moment you step into that place, you've stopped growing and wisdom is starting to evaporate and you can end up like Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, that made the dumbest decisions that have ever been made at the end of his life. Don't let success be so intoxicating that you stop learning and stop asking questions. In your field, you may be the expert, but there are always people you can learn from. Success is intoxicating and failure is humiliating. Often it's the insecurities of our failures that bring us to the place where we don't want to ask for help. Help is hard to ask for. But failure, I think failure has a bad rap. I have learned in my lifetime far more from failure than I've learned from success. In fact, the story of C3 and where we are as a church, we got here through a whole lot of failure. Failure will grow your character like success will not. Failure will deepen your connection and dependency on God, where success will cause you to think you don't need Him, you're good. Failure can be a huge benefit, but in our failure, sometimes we get so humiliated because of our pride, we don't want to ask for help. Men, it's because of your pride you and I don't ask for directions. I got this. You don't want to ask anybody for directions. You will circle in the cul-de-sac for 4 hours before you ask for directions because of pride. I can figure this out. But when we get in that place of success and failure in life, if we let pride take over, we're not going to talk to the right people and we're not going to ask the right questions. If you want to grow, if you want to be wise, and the thing I love about wisdom, the Bible says that God says, if you lack wisdom, just ask. And I love what the verse says. It says, and God will give it freely. God's not going to say, oh, it's you? Pfft, you've messed up too bad. Oh, it's you? Pfft, you're a Giants fan. You have no hope. Oh, it's you? Like, God's not going to do that. God's not going to do that. You're welcome, Matt. God's not going to do that. That's not who He is. He loves even Giants fans. He really does. He loves everybody. And so when it says, hey, God will give it, I don't know what happened to the Gators. What happened to the Gators? Dustin, what happened? I don't understand. Utah. But anyway, the thing about our God is He says, I want you, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter how little you think of yourself, ask for wisdom, and I will give it freely. The areas where you need it the most, the areas where your emotions are fully charged, the areas where it's cloudy and you have no idea, clarity is hard to find, ask for wisdom. And God says He'll give it freely. But if you want to remove any future opportunities of asking yourself, how was I so foolish, or how did I not see it coming, if you want to just eradicate that, there's a question you can ask the right people, and it's the right question. And the question is this: in light of my past experiences and my current circumstances and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? This question contextualizes your circumstance to you. Because part of what we do in life is we follow the patterns and behaviors of other people. We are all mimics. Oh, that works for you. I think it'll work for me. Well, this works for you. I think I'm going to do that. Oh, y'all have a date night every Friday night. That's what I need to do. And that's gonna, in light of my past experiences, because mine are different than yours and yours are different than mine, and my current circumstances, where you are right now, it personalizes it. And my future hopes and dreams, the purpose God has for your life, the reason you were born, the reason you were created. What is the wise thing to do? And the people who deeply love you and deeply love Jesus will answer that question for you. You didn't see it coming, but somebody saw it coming. You didn't see it coming, but God saw it coming. What if you spend a few moments with God each day? You get the YouVersion app, YOU version. It's a free app. Put it on your phone. Has the whole Bible in there. Has reading plans. What if you spend a few minutes? You're having to make some decisions. Maybe it's decisions as how you're going to deal with the loneliness that you feel. And so you go on YouVersion and you search a daily Bible reading plan for loneliness. And you begin each day, you sort of download that and bring that into your life through reading it. And then as you're reading it, you say, okay, God, as I'm dealing with loneliness, in light of my past experiences and my current circumstances and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Ask God this question. Spend time with Him each day. Spend time with people who love God and love you and ask them this question. And if you listen to the wisdom that's given when you ask the right people the right question, hey, those things that you think, how was I so foolish? How did I not see that coming? If you and I had done this, it wouldn't exist. Think about for just a moment Think about what kind of marriage you could have if you ask this question to God and to the right people. Think about how much your dating relationships would improve if you're not if you're married and dating somebody other than your spouse. That's a different message. Different message. It's not wise at all. I don't recommend it. But if you're dating somebody, think about you look at the history, and every time you feel blindsided. Oh, I can't believe he did this to me. I can't believe he did this to me. And I can't believe he did this. There's something in you where you're not bringing wisdom into your choices. You get emotionally attached before you let wisdom speak to the relationship you're diving into. And relationships are far easier to avoid than to exit. How would your relationships change? In your marriage, if you're married, in your dating relationships, if you're dating, in your friendships. What kind of financial position could you be in the future if you ask the right people? In light of my past experiences, I have a pattern in my life of diving into debt, and I'm drowning in it. And my current circumstances, I can't pay every bill that's coming in. And my future hopes and dreams, I'd like to be free from this debt one day. I'd like to live in financial freedom. What is the wise thing to do? Now, if you ask the joker that's in just as much debt as you, it's hopeless. But you ask the right people the right question. What could your financial future look like if you got your pride out of the way and asked for wisdom? What would your whole life look like if you took a dose of wisdom every day? If in every scenario where you've got to make a decision and it's not clear, it's kind of foggy to partly cloudy, and you're trying to figure out how do I do this, and your emotions are involved, if you had the right people around you, it's one of the reasons community groups are awesome. Community groups start next week. Throw that slide up if you don't mind. We have a community group slide. Listen, you need to have biblical community, and maybe you have it, but if you don't, if you're like, man, I need some friends like that, this is how you get it. You text groups to 407-559-6767. You need to have people around you. We want to resource you to live the life God created you to live. And so if you don't do this, hey, if you change nothing, nothing changes. You've got to change some pattern. Well, I'm just so busy. There may be some good stuff you need to say no to so you can say yes to the best stuff that's actually going to build your life and create the future that you'd really like to have. I know you're busy, but busyness is not an excuse. Just because there's momentum and movement in your life, it doesn't mean you're building something worth having. You've got to learn to say no to some things so you can say yes to the best things. By the way, that's wisdom. What would your life look like? Hey, the regrets of the past, they can't be erased. But the regrets of the future can be avoided by asking one simple question to the right people. So as you dive into your week, do you have the right people? By asking one simple question of a God who loves you so much, he invites you to call him Father. A God who loves you so much, he gave his son to die for you and shed his blood on a cross for your sin and for my sin. What is sin? The things that are in my life and the things that are in your life that are not pleasing to a holy God. And every single one of us have those. Nobody's better than anybody else. What would it look like if you stepped into a relationship with a God who loves you so much? He invites you to call him Father. He gave his son to die for you. And he has all the wisdom you need to navigate every situation you face in life. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your love and for your purpose for every single person in this room today. Father, I pray for those that are navigating a difficult season. Emotions are high. God, I pray that this week they would seek wisdom. They would ask you this question in light of my past experiences and my current circumstances and my future hopes and dreams. What is the wise thing to do? God, I pray they take the steps in their own life to resource themselves to live the life you created them to live. They dive into community groups. They make sure they're in biblical community with people that love you and love them. And then, Father, I pray for those in this room that may not know you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you know that the wisest thing you could do is to invite Jesus to come into your life and forgive your sin, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to give you a home in heaven after this life, and to give you His Spirit to live with you in this life day by day as you navigate the good days and the bad days. Hey, if that's you, I would love to lead you in a very simple prayer. If you'd like to invite Jesus to come into your life today, to forgive your sin and to be your Lord, to walk with you in this life, there's not a wiser decision you can make. There's not a better decision you can make. This will define and determine. Be very careful then how you live, how you walk. This will set the pace of wisdom in the rest of your life. It'll change your life and change your eternity. It'll change your family tree. If you'd like to know God in a personal way, just pray this prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can pray it out loud or you can pray it in the quietness of your heart. The Bible says Jesus knows even our thoughts. Just say, "Dear God, I know that I need you. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and help me to live for you. Thank you for loving me. As best I know how, I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name."
Thank you so much for joining us. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to know it. You can text your name to 407-487-8311 and Pastor Byron will be praying for you this week. And also, we want to thank you for your faithful generosity. You can go to giveC3.cc or you can text C3 Orlando to 77977. Thank you so much for how you give. And if you are in Central Florida, please join us in person at our campus at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Have a great week.